but don't say we don't.
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Andre Johnson.
And I'm Malika Johnson.
And welcome to episode 6 of Okay, Let's Talk. We always start out laughing because, man, I don't know what take this is. But this week we're going to talk about what's been going on in the last year. I mean, we've already hit the 1 year anniversary of this virus and just being and living in this pandemic. So we kind of wanted to share what we've been doing in the last year. So Malika, I would love for you to start off and just...
With me first?
Yeah, you first, because I'm always kind of over talking and talking too much. So I want...
I mean, well, what do you want to know?
I want to know right now, we're kind of at the 1 year anniversary, right?
Mm-hmm. We are at the 1 year anniversary.
Okay, so within the last year, what have you been doing to stay busy, to stay staying productive, staying inspired? And because I know what you've been doing, but I just like to hear it because it's been inspiring to me. So break it down for the people.
Well, honestly, it hasn't all been productive and, you know, moving in a sense. When we first got into this pandemic, I'm not going to lie, I shut down. I emotionally, mentally didn't have the energy to think of how to do anything. You know, it took me a while to sit back and think, what am I supposed to be doing? Or you know, what can I do in this space? And it made me mad that every time I would go on social media, somebody would put up a link or a meme to say, if you're not being productive during this time, then something's wrong with you, or something to that. I'm paraphrasing. But I just felt that that wasn't fair to put it out there like that, because you don't know what people's mindsets were or are to this day as a result of the pandemic. So how dare you tell me or insinuate that if I'm sitting around not doing anything that I'm being lazy or so in the midst of everything that's going on. But I digress. But I just wanted to put that out there. Like, it took a minute for me to regain confidence, regain sanity, regain my emotional well-being, because I was scared out of my mind when this hit. It's like they're sending us home. We don't know what to do. Kids home from school. I'm stressing at first saying, okay, can I teach my kids from home? Which I realized, no, I can't. I thought, you know, I had it all together. I put up schedules hanging all around the house. Remember those? Saying, okay, from 9 to 10, we're going to focus on this subject. And it became overwhelming to the point where I kind of had like an emotional breakdown to say, I can't do it. And I had to admit that and be okay with the fact that I couldn't do it. And not feel sorry for not being able to do it. You know, I was taking on more than what I could handle. But I think that's key to me recognizing when too much was too much on my plate. But, yeah. So once I got over that hurdle, for me, my brain just started functioning as normal as my brain functions. And I became engulfed in trying to find ways to better myself and better my family and my livelihood, and putting my heart into passion projects that I had, you know, initially wanted to kick off but put aside because of everything else that was going on. One of the passion projects is the nonprofit Princess Purpose. We took a hit due to COVID because our workshops that we were putting on in person had to stop. And we had to resume in a different setting. And that setting was online. But again, emotionally, physically, mentally, I wasn't there. So it didn't pick up as I expected it to. And I had to like put it to the side for a minute. It's coming back slowly but surely. But so that's one thing. Another thing is I developed my voice in a sense within my career that I've been doing for the last 23 years, being a paralegal. And I launched a paralegal coaching, consulting business along with a podcast where I speak with paralegals specifically Black female paralegals, to have a platform where we could share experiences of what it's like being a Black female in a law firm setting and learning how to maneuver and navigate in those spaces. So that's my that's what I've been working on, aside from school, still, you know, pursuing my master's degree, and you know, looking forward to possibly pursuing a law degree. But for me, that's what I've been working on. What about you?
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. Well, first, let's not downgrade what you said in the beginning as far as, or let's bring a little light to what you said. So that's like a little small recap. For someone to accomplish the things that you've accomplished in this pandemic, first, kudos to that. Definitely, you deserve all your flowers for doing these things. Because remember, you said in the beginning, you didn't know what to do. Mm-mm. You didn't know what to do. And you mentioned that you had schedules all around the house. Kudos to that for sure, because when the pandemic hit, I had no plan. Zero. I had zero plan. I was already in motion of doing things. Let me take that back a little bit. I had a plan, and the plan I had was for things that I wanted to accomplish that spring and obviously going into the summer. But when the pandemic hit, I didn't know how I was going to recalibrate those plans for them to make sense in a virtual world. Like, for instance, right when the pandemic hit, my athleisure brand, Anomaly Lifestyle Brand, on all platforms, shameless plug, Anomaly Lifestyle Brand on Instagram, Facebook, anomalyofficial.com. You can get your athleisure gear. Anyway.
Will you please?
All right. Please. Well, hey, listen, man. Hey, platform's a platform, right? So I had all these plans, and it was just taking off. And where, you know, production, like, people were obviously supporting, production was getting better, and boom, the pandemic hit. So I went from, you know, this weird space, meaning, like, I was excited, I'm like, I'm watching it grow, and then I went from that to not necessarily nothing, but a clear decline in production. And remember, it's in the middle of, it was like in March. So the weather was about to change. Everybody was excited about the spring and the summer. And I didn't know what to expect. So as far as that's what I mean. Like I didn't have a plan. Like, I didn't know what to expect. And as much as you think you know and how you can think you can navigate easily in this virtual world, you don't know until you have to do it. You like, so when you had to go, oh, in a Zoom call, I didn't know how to even work Zoom. Because I'm used to obviously Google Meet and FaceTiming and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And when they were like, oh, everything as far as work and it's going to be on a Zoom call. And I'm like, a Zoom call? Like, all right. I mean, I heard of Zoom, and I may have even been a part of one of those meetings, but I didn't know how to, you know, initiate one. So you had to instantly become technically savvy to be able to start even to think about navigating through this pandemic. So between the business, I'm just grateful that I have really cool friends that would just give me advice with no problem, and friends that that's been doing things virtually before the pandemic, so it was easy for them to kind of transition. But as far as like a mental state, from a psychological standpoint, I didn't like it at all. And I what I didn't like, just like you said, you didn't like when people were posting memes. You know what I didn't like? I didn't like that people were, some people obviously, were downplaying it until, the death toll started to rise. And in my head, I'm going, yo, these are people, loved ones, they're family members and all that. So that's something that you shouldn't be playing with at all. And people's comfort levels were all over the place. Even in our own house, my comfort level versus your comfort level, we were on just two different accords until we came together and said, okay, this is how we're going to handle this. This is how we're going to put the schedule up for the kids' schooling, the virtual setting. And wow, we just got hit big time. Boom. Meaning, like, how are the kids going? Like, we're talking about ourselves, but then we obviously we had to realize our kids' world was turned upside down. Mm-hmm. Our schedule was turned upside down. Our family members, like, what are we going to do moving forward? So figuring that out was the, I would say, the most difficult part about it. Just figuring out how you're going to just change your everyday life. And because we all have a routine, like a daily routine of what we do. And when that is interrupted, you have to recalibrate. You have to figure it out quicker than you're forced to figure it out. And when you're forced to figure it out, then you really got to be resilient and be flexible. And I think, Malika, I think you've done an incredible job figuring it out. For me, I think I did okay. And I just think I could have done better in the beginning. But at this point, at the 1 year anniversary, I'm so hopeful. I'm naturally a hopeful person, a person of faith, that it's just this year is going to be like the biggest year ever. And of course, I want next year to be even bigger. So as far as our lives and everything else. And I wish that for everybody that's listening too. So that's kind of how I feel about the pandemic and what I've been doing. I'm also in school, getting a master's degree. So just those, a lot of those things combined is a lot. And by the way, we still got to live, right? We still got to live. We still got to be parents. We still got to, you know, we got to be a father to our children. You got to be a mother to our children, obviously. But as far as anything else that's going on, man, it's rough. But it's possible, and we're doing it. So the blessing is that even through a pandemic, you're able to bless other people, and you're able to, you know, talk. And I like to look at all the good things that happen. You know, like more family members called each other. I have a lot of the elders in my family. They have their own group, their Zoom group that they connect every weekend. Which is kind of cool. Like my mother and her siblings, they get on the phone. You know, I'm calling family that I haven't spoke to in years because we all kind of hide behind busy. But we really found out what was important. You were able to shake out a few things. You were able to filter stuff that doesn't even matter in your life compared to what really does matter. So, I think it was a time for cleansing, a time for clarity, and a time to just simplify your life. So this was a good wake up call to be able to propel yourself to higher levels.
And, you say that too, but I think that wording I don't like. It's a time to propel yourself to higher levels, because some people didn't have the wherewithal to even think of how to propel yourself to those higher levels. So that's one thing I just don't want. I don't want to put the message out there that we're insinuating that you should have been productive during this time period, because that's unfair to people who didn't have that capacity to think in that manner because of things that were going on or things that they had to deal with. Maybe we were fortunate enough to not lose employment, right? But some people were. They were furloughed. You know, I was fortunate enough to find a new job in COVID, which you know, I was surprised that I was able to be hired during this pandemic. But some people lost their jobs during the pandemic. And that affected their family and their livelihood. So they weren't able to, in a sense, level up because they were faced with insecurity and uncertainty, you know, of what's next. So I think that's important to highlight too. So although, yes, it is a time of cleansing, and it was a time of cleansing, continues to be a time of cleansing and understanding and noticing what's important to you as far as family, as far as your health, your wellness, your mental health, your mental wellness, it is also a time to be grateful and thankful, you know, that you weren't affected in a certain way. And for those that were affected by COVID in a certain way, our hearts go out to you, as I can't even imagine or begin to imagine how it'll continue to affect you going forward, you know? Because I look at COVID as lived trauma now. So, you know, you'll hear the word COVID and automatically think back, oh, that was a time when everything shut down. That was a time when we couldn't hug our loved ones. That was a time when we couldn't socialize or be with people that we normally would be with. You know, I missed out on a lot of events due to COVID. Just to bring it all to another, you know, a livelier note. I did. I missed birthday celebrations, graduations. I got my what was it? My bachelor's during COVID. And had to do a virtual ceremony. And all of the high school students, you know, they didn't have high school graduations. They didn't have proms. So those are like memories, cherished memories that we took for granted because we were able to go on proms and, you know, where they don't have that experience to look back on and say, my 12th grade prom. Because of COVID.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting how this pandemic, how it's going to be looked at years from now. You know, like you mentioned, high school graduations, college graduations, birthday parties, milestones, and as far as birthdays and milestones and milestone events like anniversaries and, mm-hmm. you know, like, and imagine like, you know, someone wanting to celebrate like their 50th wedding anniversary and it's during COVID and mm-hmm. they had these huge plans and they all fell through. And, you know, and imagine like, I would imagine like, remember like when all those people were on that cruise ship? Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get off and they had to sit on a cruise ship. Like you said, the trauma mm-hmm. and the time of COVID, first of all, it's a year now. Mm-hmm. And how does that affect children? And how does that affect adults? And how does that affect women and families who had babies throughout this time? I mean, it's like, it's weird because it's weird for everybody, and everybody has some type of, this is something that was collective as far as the entire United States was like the entire world, the globe, it was a global pandemic. Like as a human, you know, you're looking at it like, you know, everybody's dealing with the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's disheartening when you hear states that have never, like people who just like not taking it seriously, because we're like you said, we're all going to have like some quote unquote COVID story, mm-hmm. you know. So
yeah, it's and when you think about it too, like even from the kids' perspective, because a lot of times you don't take that perspective into you know, you don't take it into perspective, but the kids have suffered from it too. Look at our son. Had to stop basketball, and that was something that he enjoyed doing. It got him out the house, got him exercising, you know, involved socially, mentally, physically, and that came to an abrupt halt and has not, for him and his school, hasn't picked up again yet. So it's like, what is his outlet? You know, we live in a neighborhood where he doesn't have peers his age on our block, and because of COVID, he wasn't able to go out with his friends that he would normally play with. So in his defense, you know, he's like, I'm on a video game because I have nothing else to do. And initially I was like, no, get off the game, get off the game. Now, don't get me wrong. He still does need exercise and stuff, and we get him out the house as much as we can. But what else was there for him to do? You know, it's only but so much that he could do absent his peers. Even our daughter, she went through a little time period where she didn't have anybody to play with. And it's like, oh no, you can't do this because of COVID. You can't do that. And then not even to mention the fact of getting them used to wearing a mask. You know, none of us were used to it. But how do you tell your kids and instill into your children, you got to wear a mask for safety. You can go outside, but you got to wear a mask. We got to go here, but you got to wear a mask. And it's to the point, sometimes I would forget to take my mask, and I would get all the way to a store and be like, uh-oh, I don't have my mask. So that made me start carrying extra mask in the cars. Because it's just, you know, sometimes you forget stuff, and you forget that we're in a new reality now.
Yeah, and you mentioned Brandon, and it's like, when COVID hit, he was just at the end of his basketball season, so he just finished the whole season and the playoffs. But then, of course, we had to consider when the next school year, because remember, people were like, oh, it's going to go away, and it's not going to be here long. So, and here it is a year later. So his school year started. His teammates in, obviously, the sport of basketball was, like, really important to him. And then he wasn't able to even start a season. And to me, it was kind of weird because you look around and you saw other schools playing football. And you saw, and now I'm seeing videos with people have actual basketball games, but they're playing basketball games with the mask on. So, and I can't help to think of how, like, that interrupts your breathing. Like, I mean, you have to breathe when you're playing basketball. And, you know, some schools, and I just think what was weird was the uncertainty, the unknown, the differences of information. Like, you're getting information from one source that was a little different from the information from another source. And we're not active scientists and, you know, medical professionals and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's like, all right, just like give it to us straight. What's going on? Let us like, you know, adjust accordingly and live our lives. And to me, you have to, like I said, you have to navigate and adjust your personal life around the information that you're given. And everybody had a different perception of how that looked.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. So you didn't know. I mean, there was times that you didn't even know if you could talk to somebody that's 6 feet or 8 feet or whatever feet away from you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, because you don't know. So that the whole feeling of I don't know. You know, some people aren't good actors. Some people, like, you don't know if that person's offended by you or not offended by you, or someone that you, like you said, that you usually talk to all the time. Like, you can't be with them socially.
And God forbid somebody cough or sneeze near you. I was running. I'm
Yeah, that COVID cough.
Not the COVID cough, just the cough in general.
Yeah, man, but now it's not even a regular cough. It's a COVID cough.
It's not a COVID cough.
It's a COVID cough. Sneeze. It's like, uh-oh.
I think those moments are heightened now when you hear, like, if you're in the market or so and somebody behind you sneezes, now you're instinctually turning around, whereas before you would just be like, oh, somebody's sick. Or even if you were a germaphobe, you would be like, oh, I hope they cover their mouth. But now when they do it, it's like,
like he's trying to run from them. Like, what are you doing?
But that's just because of the amount of fear and it was so much information. It was information overload. Although we needed to hear it, it was so much information in the beginning being given to us daily. It was like news briefs, interruptions. The COVID number went up again. Now Montgomery County, Delaware County, Philadelphia County. Like every day on the news, it was an update and it was just feeding us more and more. I had to cut the TV off it sometimes because I'm like, I can't. My brain can't take in another story because it was adding to my anxiety.
Yeah, and that's, I think, like you said, it was overload. It was just too much. And you had to, like, come to a point where it's like, all right, enough, and I got to turn the TV off. Mm-hmm. Or start watching something totally different. Mm-hmm. Because it was, one, depressing. Two, you kind of, it was weird. It was a, once again, it was a weird space because you wanted the information, but you also didn't want too much negativity, too. Mm-hmm. Because it's... It wasn't nothing positive on the news. It was, it's, I don't, you know, you can almost expect nothing positive is going to be on the news anyway. But it was information overload and it was a lot of negative talk that you don't really need in, you know, you don't really need to be ingesting that much of it. Whether it's just too much. It's just too much. So what, that brings me to the point where, I remember you said you didn't like the wording that I was saying, but I'm just a hopeful person. So, and I'm hopeful for everybody out there. So I just want us all to be able to learn from this moment, benefit somehow from these moments, whether it's better health, better wellness, being more in tune with yourself and your body and your mind and your soul and just like, making sure you're giving people their flowers while they're still here, making sure you're acknowledging people that inspire you, getting closer to family members, you know, the things that matter, you know, nature, all that stuff, the things that matter that promotes health and wellness. That's pretty much what I was getting at. I understand that people didn't have the means and the finances and the and being and in position to, and when they had to deal with a death of a loved one, and they were losing their jobs, and I get all that. In fact, I empathize with a lot of those people. But what I was trying to convey was, this is an opportunity to kind of readjust, recalibrate. You know, we're in that 1 year, we're at that 1 year mark, and we also have to look forward to better and brighter days. That helps your overall health and wellness. That's pretty much what I was getting at when I made that comment.
Yeah, it does. It's always good to be hopeful and you know, look to everything as a positive or as a stepping stone to something greater. So that is a good point to make there. I just can't believe that out of all the time that I've known you, I don't think we've ever been in a house together this long.
Just in the house.
Yes. Like, this is a long time.
Why do you say that's so depressing?
I'm just saying. I don't think...
Am I boring you?
That we've been together. We've never been in the house together for this long period of a time. Like, without going out somewhere separate and apart. You know, like okay. I would go out, you would go out on a weekend. I may have had plans to go somewhere. You may have had plans to go somewhere. The kids may have had a party or something to go to. But we've all been primarily in the house for a year.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. Like we were more mobile.
Right. And it's like active. For a year we were immobile.
But now, I mean, we'll see, that's what the pandemic did. Like,
yeah.
We were very mobile and just out and about and moving and shaking and living our lives. So the pandemic just said no. Mm-hmm. The pandemic just was like, yo, you need to stop, chill. You know, and maybe, but that's why I was saying it's pretty awesome that you had an opportunity to recalibrate. Mm-hmm. Level set your whole life, and it brought clarity. That's what I was mentioning earlier in the podcast. It brought a lot of clarity and cleansing. So I like to focus on the things that the positive things that happen out of it, because there were a lot of negative things. But I don't want to even spend energy. I want to just learn from the negative things and don't even spend energy on them and spend energy on the positive things that happen.
You can, but I think it
you can acknowledge the negative stuff.
Right. Because but the other negative stuff that came out of this pandemic was the unmasking of the inequities and the disparities that, you know, affect our people, our culture, our communities. COVID being a prime example, healthcare disparities. Then we had the racial divide again, you know. I think that on top of COVID, it kind of heightened more fear and more anxiety within the nation. So, you know, we had protests. We had a lot. It was a lot going on.
Yeah, if you did like a like one of them just yearly recaps.
It was a lot.
And it's so much that you can't even like put it in chronological order unless you just literally take a moment and go back on like Google or whoever, the news, whatever, wherever you get your information and from whatever source, and literally chronologically set the day that you were sent home or the day that the country shut down. There was a lot between that moment and today.
Yeah,
I mean, we had rioters, rioting. We've had protests. We had Black Lives Matter. We had murders. We had national disasters. You know, like we is lantern flies. But it's just, you're right, it's so much, it's a lot. And if you, and it was like one thing, and God forbid that murder hornet would have got to us.
Mm-hmm.
We've, like, it's just a total, like, wreck of everything. And it was like, hey, God was like, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and test y'all, see
and
where y'all at.
The fact that it's still no justice for Breonna Taylor to this day, it's been a year.
Yeah, none.
It's been a year.
And that's a must. That's a must that has to happen.
Yeah, so it's like all of this COVID, pandemic, systemic racism, institutional racism, murder hornets, lantern flies, all of that played a part in taking a toll on what is now going to be coined or has been coined as unprecedented times, right? It's all, because I always laugh, say, if I hear that word one more time, because it was something that became so frequent with COVID. We're dealing with unprecedented times. Unprecedented, every time you turn around, somebody was saying unprecedented times. So where I started saying it, it's like unprecedented times. But it was a lot. This year was a lot. So despite or in spite of everything that happened, I'm glad that we were still able to find a way to thrive.
Yeah.
And I guess that was, it brings it all back full circle to what you were saying in the beginning about accomplishments that we've made in the midst of COVID. So like I said, I was able to find my voice in a sense to launch passion projects that I've been sitting on. And you were able to regain sustainability and anomaly. But it didn't come without sacrifice. I mean, that sacrifice mm-hmm. was my sanity. Like, I'm still working on getting it back.
Yeah, but that's the good thing. We're blessed to even be in a position to work on and get it back. Like you said, a lot of people lost their lives. They lost mm-hmm. their whole lifestyle, their whole life, family members, you know. And you can go on and on, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, the fact that you're in a position to be blessed and able to bless other people through, like you said, finding your voice and using your voice to bless other people, to inspire other people, then the blessings will come back full circle.
Yeah, I just believe that, like, God's not finished with us yet. He has a bigger plan. And it's for us to notice when that plan is being unwrapped or unveiled in front of us to walk, you know, within our purpose and push forward the plan that's in front of us. Execute it.
Yeah, man. I don't play around with God. God said do X, I do X. I don't do God say do X, I do X.
Yeah,
I don't do B, C, D, and E.
But no, I'll be the first one to say I question and I'll be like, God, for real? Me? You want me to do that?
All right, yeah, I mean, but that's your relationship with God.
Yeah, like we cool. But I'm just saying, like, sometimes when stuff is presented to you, you question it because you don't feel adequate enough, or you don't feel like that's yours. Although he doesn't make any mistakes and he puts everything plain and present in front of your face for you to be able to attain. However, fear sets in, and I know faith and fear can't reside in the same space, but sometimes we do question. And the lesson in all of that is, if you believe, why question? God's not going to steer you wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But that fear does set in from time to time, and you do question, like, why me? Or is it meant for me for real? And you deviate from his plan, but eventually he'll find a way to bring you back full circle so that way you can walk in your purpose, which is ultimately to serve him.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. Yeah, God don't play about me. He don't play. He sustained me this long. All praises due. So, yo, that's episode 6, y'all. We're gonna like really cut this. And here's the thing. Episode 7, you gotta tune in, because we're gonna have something way more lighter, way more funner. But this episode, funner is not a word.
Funner, way more exciting.
With all these degrees, I can't use funner. Mm-mm. Why can't I invent the word funner?
Define it.
It's not define it. Invent the word fun?
Define it.
Who? My point exactly. Funner. Anyway, funner. Define it. That's easy. It's the act of being fun.
Funner. Okay.
Like, if you say runner, is the act of running.
We're not going there. Because I would be ashamed of anybody.
Yo! Funner.
We're not going there.
So, anyway, I just invented the word funner.
You ain't invented that word.
And in 2022, it'll be in Webster. Mm-mm. Dictionary and Webster. And it's definitely going to be in the
urban. And you're saying it with authority.
It's definitely, well, why not? I say everything with authority. So, it's definitely going to be in the urban dictionary, so check it out.
Mm-mm,
but it's
going to
be in
more,
it's going to be in Merriam-Webster 2022. Mm-mm. Funner. Mm-mm. If John can go in the Merriam-Webster,
Funner can't.
Mm-mm. Funner can too.
No, can't.
All right.
Nope.
I think we spent way too much time on Funner. But anyway, till next time, people, peace, love, and soul. You got anything, Malika?
Mm-mm.
No? you were done on Funner?
I'm done on Funner.
All right, till next time. Peace.